On a Monday, it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Today in Your Health, we're starting a series on why so many American children are overweight or obese. That subject led us to look at the hours between school and bedtime, crunch time for most families when crucial decisions get made about food and exercise. We conducted a poll with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Harvard School of Public Health, and the poll finds parents understand what kids need to do. The challenge is doing it. Here are NPR health correspondents Richard Knox and Patty Naimond.
The most striking thing about our poll is that nearly everybody wants to make sure their kids eat right and exercise enough. But a lot of the time, it's not happening.
Paige Pavlik of Raleigh, North Carolina, says the relentless checklist of things that have to be crammed between after school and bedtime make every day a struggle.
It's hard enough to get dinner on the table while trying to help them with homework. Once we do everything, there is absolutely no time to go outside and take a walk or get any exercise. It's simply come in, eat, sit down, do homework, go to bed.
Pavlik says she burst into tears when she saw our invitation on NPR's Facebook page asking parents to describe their crunch times.
And it makes me cry now. It's really hard. This isn't how I thought family life was going to be.
Lori Bishop of Lexington, Kentucky, has similar feelings. She tries to excel both as a parent and on the job as a full-time laboratory manager, but she says she ends up feeling mediocre at both.
My husband and I don't have physically demanding jobs, so we're not physically tired when we get home, but both of our jobs are very stressful. So I find that we are very taxed by the time we get home, which makes us very exhausted. But you got to go right to work in the kitchen. So while I would love to prepare a well-balanced meal each evening, it doesn't happen.
And when it does happen, more often than not, it's convenience foods.
We eat a lot of pre-packaged meals, things that are frozen that you can just heat up, like frozen pizza, frozen chicken nuggets.
Many parents in our poll say their children eat meals prepared at home with fresh ingredients. But about a third of children who eat at home with their families are like Lori Bishop's kids. They end up relying on prepackaged, frozen, or takeout food.
And when it comes to sitting around the table for dinner, virtually everybody in our poll says it's important. Nutritionists say families who eat together are healthier, but nearly half of those in our poll say that's difficult.
Like Adam Jacobs. Both he and his wife have long commutes to work from their home in Mesa, Arizona.
My wife and I don't even get to talk about our days. You know, if I have something to tell her, I literally put it on my smartphone to remind me.
Their two boys, 14 and 10, have activities that keep them after school. So here's an example of what typically happens. On one recent evening, Jacobs tried to rustle up a dinner for himself and his older son.
I was at home at 7:30, and it was ready by 8:30. And by that time, my wife and younger boy weren't even home yet, and my older son had already eaten. And because they were out, they also ate out. My wife and my younger boy, they just bought something while they were out. So it wound up just being another solo deal. So just sit and wait.
And it's not just time that's in short supply. Among the parents we talk to who say they find it difficult to prepare fresh foods, money was also a factor. Araceli Flores and her two young children live in the farm belt of Central California, surrounded by fields of broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus, and fruits. But buying fresh foods, she says, is just too expensive.
I could buy a box of macaroni and cheese for $1 and a bunch of bananas. Like if a good maybe week and a half worth of bananas will cost me over $1. Strawberries are $4. A bag of apples is going to cost me $5. I mean, way more pricier to buy vegetables and fruits than it is to buy boxed food.
Time and money aren't the only things that get in the way of doing the right thing. Parents say there are other barriers, their physical surroundings, school lunch policies, and their family culture. Vanessa Benavides is a single mom in Miami who's Cuban-American. She comes from a family with nutrition-related health issues.
Most of my family is overweight. You know, most of my family has high blood pressure. My father's diabetic.
On the weekends, Benavides fills up her grocery cart with fresh fruits and vegetables. She intends to cook healthy meals, but at the end of a long day, when she picks up 7-year-old Emily at her mom's house, it's often easier to eat the dinner her mom's made.
It's a lot of Cuban meals. You know, it's just a lot of rice, meat combinations that are often fried or greasy.
And then her mom and dad urge Emily to eat more.
They want to fatten her up. she needs to eat more, she needs to eat more.
That bothers Benavides because she was once a skinny kid like Emily, but now she struggles with her weight.
They were always trying to tell me to eat and eat more and eat more and eat more, and you know, a nice chunky kid is healthy in our culture.
And even schools are undermining the messages that many parents are trying to give their children. In school cafeterias across the country, kids are still eating dense, high-fat, and overprocessed lunches. Asanta Wagner lives with her husband and four children in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Her kids typically bring their lunch to school, but sometimes she allows them to eat the school lunches, and when they do, she cringes.
One of their favorite meals was this mashed potato bowl where it was mashed potatoes and little fried chicken pieces and corn, and then they covered it in gravy. And she's like, oh, everybody loves that dish.
Wagner's a stay-at-home mom who's super conscientious about making healthy food at home. Lots of fruits, vegetables, and lean meats. No prepackaged foods, no instant meals, no soda. In fact, when we asked parents who dined at home the previous night what they ate, 2/3 said their kids had meals prepared from scratch with fresh ingredients. So what's offered at school is particularly upsetting, and it's not just the lunches.
They come home with a bag of candy, you know, for every little thing.
Halloween, Thanksgiving, one of her children is overweight, and even for a job well done at school, he gets a bag of candy.
Snickers and Hershey Kisses and lollipops and Starbursts and the little Halloween-sized piece of candy, just a little bag of those all tied up, all nice and pretty. Of course, by the time I got it, it was mostly nice and pretty little wrappers.
And when all those calories add up over the years, the very environment can make it hard to reverse the problem. Some parents say it's too hard or too expensive to get their kids to a safe place to exercise. That's one reason one of our poll respondents, Vivian Carter-Smith, is so worried about her 17-year-old grandson.
He's a good boy. He's overweight. He's short. He's not tall. And I know he weighs 350 pounds easy.
She says her grandson doesn't get any exercise. He tried going to the Y, but stopped when the other boys teased him.
He knows he wobbles, and he's got the breast that goes with being obese. He just feels like he doesn't fit in.
Carter Smith says there isn't a place near his Cincinnati home where her grandson and his younger brother can even get outside and walk. And in fact, they don't want to.
The way the streets are with these kids with no parents and no rules and regulations and upbringing skills, they are scared.
She knows that no exercise combined with an unhealthy diet can lead to disaster. After all, her grandson's father died last year of a heart attack at the age of 38. Richard Knox.
And Patty Niemand, NPR News.
And you can find more on the poll findings at npr.org.